your Bible. Turn with me to Jeremiah 24 and 7. And get also Matthew 15 and 18. And it says, Jeremiah 24 and 7, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord.
Yes.
What that would mean is that somewhere along the line, you didn't have that heart. And they shall be my people.
Thank you.
And I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. There are some of us serving, but you're not serving with your whole heart. Lord, I need you to work this message out to them. And I hear you speaking to us, Lord. And you're getting a little bit weary of people who are serving with a half heart. Notice the contrast now of Matthew 15, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Take your seats. Touch right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Sit down in this service. Touch the people. Top of their head to the soles of their feet.
Yes, Lord.
Hide flesh behind the cross.
Yes.
Step up and speak in my stead. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when you look back over your life and you begin to look at some of the things that you did and did not do, you began to have regrets. I know I'm not the only one in here.
Amen.
But I do have to be honest with myself when I say that all my regrets are my fault.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
They come from what I think I have, which is a better than average brain. When I say that, in other words, I thought, according to my thinking, that I could do some things without the power of God in my life.
Yes.
Or I can make some decisions and go certain ways without asking, which way should I go, Lord? And I believed that my brain was strong enough to carry those decisions without asking God about them.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm not by myself. I am not by myself.
All right.
If time were to permit, all of us have some stories.
That's right.
Where we could talk about that some decisions you made that were absolutely not according to God's will.
Amen.
Do I have a witness in the building?
Amen.
In fact, everybody has experienced temporary brain loss.
Amen.
And really, when you look at it, some of those moments were actually very entertainingly funny.
Yes.
And then some of those decisions were sobering, life-defining moments that absolutely change your life. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, your life went from one way to another.
All right.
Because of some decisions you made. And consequently,
That's right.
As a result, we have never been the same. We have had some close calls. Do I have a witness in the building? Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing back to me. What do you mean close call? I mean, you were staring down the barrel of a gun. Your back was up against the wall. You were someplace that you should have been dead and gone. And when you think about it, there was somebody that had you at the end of their arm and holding you captive and taking you from pillar to post. And you was about to lose your mind. You was about to commit a 187. Now, y'all ain't saying nothing back to me. If God didn't deliver you out of something.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
We have had some close calls.
Yes.
We've had some tragic times.
Yes, we have.
And as we look back, most of those instances could have been avoided.
Yes. That's right, that's right, that's right, that's
yes.
right.
Yes. Yes.
However, saints, our problem does not come from a lack of information or understanding. Instead, it is something else. Something that we never outgrow. Our problem comes from the fact that we are not on a truth quest.
Come on. That's it.
We do not wake up in the morning with a burning sensation down in our spirit that we are looking for the truth.
Yeah.
That we are looking for what is right and honorable. Instead, we're on a happiness quest.
Lord Jesus.
We want to be happy. We want to feel happy. And it's that pursuit of happiness that outweighs our pursuit of the truth.
Come on.
Now, before you begin to disagree with me underneath your breath, allow me to present a few things to you. Let me start for a minute with some coffee drinkers. I'll use myself for an example. There was a period in my life when I was drinking coffee every day. And you spend anywhere from $2 to $4 on coffee every day, not counting weekends. And really, that's outrageous if you consider that throughout the world, there are people that you could have been donating that money to. That's $80, $60 to $80 a month that we spend on pleasing ourselves. Let me move over to the you finely dressed people. If you have perfectly good clothes that you are not wearing, that hang in your closet, but you're going shopping next week. Or later on this month. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you tripping. Why do we buy more clothes and don't wear the ones that's currently hanging in our closet? Well, if you don't have the answer, let me tell you. When you wear something new, you feel better about yourself. You feel happy. But if you put on last year's styles, well, you feel last year. So we go to the store. Don't consider the clothes that we already have hanging in our closet.
All right.
So in essence, you're not really buying clothes. You're looking to be happy. Have you ever traded in a cell phone? Uh-oh. We all got quiet now. Do you own a real iPhone? And have you ever thought of a way to get out of your contract so that you can get the latest and greatest phone? Watch this. Some of y'all don't even pay your bill so that you can go over to T-Mobile or AT&T from Verizon so that you can get the latest phone. Why? Because because you want to be happy. Boy, look at y'all looking at me hard. Some of us even carry two contracts. I'll go over here, but since they got the latest and greatest, I'll go over there. And I'll break down my current cell phone contract to almost nothing. But as long as I can get the brand new, the latest, the biggest, the baddest, then I'm happy. Happiness, my brothers and sisters, points in one direction, while wisdom, truth, integrity, and common sense point in another. And when that happens, then we start doing some really dumb things. This is when happiness becomes dangerous to our soul. The problem with happiness, the happiness quest, is that happy today does not necessarily mean happy tomorrow.
Amen.
Decisions and experiences that fill me up today may be the very thing I regret tomorrow. The thing or the person that I went after today might be the very person I'm trying to escape from.
Watch out, man.
Tomorrow.
Watch out.
See, you ain't got to say hallelujah. Some of y'all are sitting next to some folk today that you're trying to escape from because you done made a mistake. Glory be to God. You in a situation that you thought you wanted to be in. But come to find out 24 hours later, you saying, Lord, have mercy. I done made a mistake. I done got with this knucklehead. I done got with this sister. I done got, and they don't have nothing coming. Y'all ain't saying amen. It's all right. I know I'm in the building. Some of y'all done got pregnant and had children based on the decision that you made because you wanted to be happy. Notice I didn't say the baby's not a blessing. The baby's a blessing. But you wasn't necessarily prepared. In short, allow me to say that happiness is schizophrenic. Y'all ain't saying that back to me. Y'all come on, talk back to me. You dealing with happiness that, let me see here. I'll make you happy today and make you miserable tomorrow. Happiness is schizophrenic. And if you are a happy, happy, joy, joy person today, I'm waiting for the decline in your happiness. But y'all looking at me hard. Why do we continue to pursue after this happiness that cannot make up its mind? This happiness that does not have any consistency. Why am I doing things that I don't want to do? Well, let me help you understand something. Woo. The answer is we begin to lie to ourselves. Well, let me stay here now for a minute. See, y'all was looking to climb the walls today. I'm going to bless your soul instead. Some of y'all lying to yourself. You become dishonest salespeople. You begin selling yourself on what you want instead of what you should be doing. And when you get focused on what you want, your brain creates a strategic plan to get you to where you want to be. That's why we say, as preachers, know this term. Well, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. Because you can ask for it, but what they really want to do, they're going to do. What are you saying? Let me make it plain. I ain't got no money, Pastor. I can't give my tithes and offering. But you just got a $150 hairdo. You just got your nails and your toes done. Brothers, you just got a new suit. Y'all ain't saying that back to me. It's the truth. We develop reasons that do not have anything to do with why we choose to do what we do in the first place. We start justifying the lie. So really, we have an honesty issue. Some of us not honest with ourselves. Well, the reason I want to go out with him, because he good for me, and he, you know, he love me, and he think, he tell me everything going to be all right. The reason I want to go out there, yeah, she look good, and yeah, she's smart, and she's in the ninth grade for the third year. Heard of somebody happy to be in another grave for another year. We have a difficult time, beloved, being real with ourselves. We end up on a path that does not lead to where we desire to go. Instead, we stay on the unintended path because we refuse to be honest with ourselves. And as long as we lie to ourselves, we will not get to where we desire to be. Why, oh why, do we do this to ourselves? The answer might lie in the Old Testament with the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah, if you don't know, Jeremiah was a mouthpiece for God. One of his listeners was Jehoiakim, who was the king of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah was trying to tell Jehoiakim some things that he needed to stop doing, or it was going to bring hellfire down on the kingdom. And why was he telling Jehoiakim? Because Jehoiakim was leading his people into some rituals a pagan practice. They were serving false gods. And they had begun to take on the essence of neighboring countries that were celebrating and worshiping false gods. So Jeremiah began to warn the king. In fact, he warned him several times. And the reason some of us can't receive the blessing that we want today, the reason you can't step into your next season, is because you keep doing the same stupid stuff. You keep doing the same stupid thing. How can God bless you and you won't turn from your wicked ways? How can God elevate you but you won't surrender yourself unto him? You following pagan practices. What do you mean pagan practices? You stay home when you should be in prayer. You doing things you have no business doing. You saying things you have no business saying. You listening to stuff you ain't got no business listening to. And then you ask God to elevate me, save me, secure me. And God says, where was I at when you really should have been praying? You should have been doing some things that were according to my will. So Jeremiah warned the king several times, don't do this. You're going to run into some trouble. And Jeremiah told Jehoiakim, he said, look, if you don't repent, you're going to allow Babylon to come in and overtake you. That's why I said some of y'all need to repent, because the enemy's coming in and trying to run your life. If you give him an inch, he'll want to drive. See, you can't play around with the enemy. Some of y'all need, and it starts with repentance. Jeremiah said, repent, Jehoiakim, repent, repent, repent.
Yes.
You know what Jehoiakim did? He said, I'm tired of you talking, Jeremiah. Let me arrest you and put you in jail. And while he was in jail, Babylon came in like a flood. What are you saying? You can talk about the preacher all you want, but if you don't do what God has for you to do, Babylon gonna come in like a flood and it's gonna take over your life. And you wonder why you drowning and flailing and saying, "Lord, save me," and you've been getting saved for the last 5 years. That's because you allow Babylon to come in and take control of your life.